Welcome to the Cloud Source Podcast. This is Christian talking. As I mentioned in my previous podcast, the beginning of the year is a good moment to review key trends that are going on in the market. In my last podcast, I focused on cloud. Let me now talk about four other key trends that I'm actually seeing in the marketplace. The first one is the Internet of Things and edge computing. Although we speak less about IoT and edge, it increasingly starts creeping into our daily life. Our cars are getting connected. Our heating systems are accessible over the internet. I was even seeing a vacuum cleaner robot that you could steer with your mobile phone. Not talking about your toothbrush and others that give you statistics on how well you brush your teeth. All very simple examples of the Internet of Things that creep into our daily lives. But the Internet of Things brings with it a humongous amount of data. And that data is increasingly analyzed. We are actually in front of an issue. Either we continue doing what we do most often, which is pump all the data into the cloud, or we change our approaches. If we keep the first approach, we may go back to something that we have known about 15 years ago. WWW meaning the World Wide Web. Indeed, if all that data needs to go back to the cloud, which, if you really think about it, is nothing else than a set of data centers that are actually located around the globe. So in other words, if all the data is actually centralized in a single place, you're getting to a point where the pipes, however large you make them, will no longer be capable of actually using and getting all the data across at the speed it needs to happen. But some of the data analysts will tell you that the knowledge is in the detail, so that you need to be able to access and address every single element of data. And that to be able to do that, you need them all in one single place. And that is precisely the place where we need to do some improvement and change. Having the capability to leave the data where it was originating, but at the same time being able to analyze it in such a way that I don't lose any piece of information because of the distributed nature of data, is one of the challenges that we're going to be faced with. That is where edge computing and its capabilities are actually coming in. Edge computing bring compute power where the data is generated. But at the same time, it forces us to create compute power that is actually capable of being located anywhere. You're not going to put data centers all over the place. What you'll do is you'll have environments, hardened environments, in which some compute power is available to do some of those analysis. There's actually nothing new in this. We've done that for ages, but it's tying those different elements together with IoT in mind that is actually critical for us to move forward. That's on IoT. Artificial intelligence and robots is next. And yes, in 2017, we've seen a number of people pointing out that artificial intelligence can take over the world and can be quite dangerous. It's interesting to see that Facebook stopped an experiment where its bots were actually starting to create their own language that was not understandable by human beings. We're going to have to pay attention on what we do with artificial intelligence and regulate ourselves to make sure it's there at the service of the population and not to dictate to the population what it has to do. I personally, I'm an optimist, believe there's only a remote chance that we have it wrong, because I think that all in all, society regulates itself in one way, form, or shape. But it's an element that we need to take into account. And as robots use artificial intelligence, and that's why I put the two of them together, to really improve their way of working, it's going to be interesting to see how we tie the two technologies together and for what purpose. I do not believe it's in the best of society to use robots to keep the elderly so that normal people don't need to do it anymore. And having robots replacing some of the social interactions that we actually have. And there's a danger that this may happen. But on the other hand, having robots helping us in tasks that are difficult and painful is actually a positive point. Here again, we have to go and regulate what we do with that technology. There's two more elements I want to talk about. The first one is blockchain. Blockchain is, as we all know, the complement of Bitcoin. Now, what's going to happen with Bitcoin, I have no clue. And I don't even want to start thinking about it. A crypto global money is something strange. At the moment, a lot of people are actually accusing the euro, for example, which is a regional money, to limit their capabilities. Anyway, that's beside the point. Blockchain has this unique capability of being able to secure transactions. Transactions from all kinds, being it in the financial services world where it started, but also in the supply chain and in others. And regardless of what happens to the Bitcoin, blockchain has a bright future. Because we have for long been looking at a way to secure our transactions without requiring an intermediary to do so. And blockchain seemed to be a way for us to actually achieve that. The last point, and that may actually surprise you, is net neutrality. The US have just decided to get away with net neutrality. And it's going to be interesting to see what the implications of that is going to be. Will that lead to new services that are actually being created that take advantage of quote-unquote fast internet? Or will that be a way for large enterprises to kill upcomers by being able to pay for themselves fast internet, whereas the startups can only work with the regular version of it. It's going to be interesting to see what's happening. And we'll have actually a comparison, because Europe has decided to enforce net neutrality. The US has moved away from it. Let's see how the two markets actually operate and what goes well and better where. Will there be new services appearing in the US as a result of that fast internet capability? I don't know. It's actually going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see what the human being creativity will bring with it when they have new opportunities to play with. My only fear is that it will limit the capabilities of startups to be heard in the marketplace because of the fact that they cannot afford buying and paying for that extra service to have the fast internet that they're actually eligible to or that they could use. So it, up to a certain extent, it distorts competition. And that obviously may not be at the best for our world. Because one fundamental question I have in the back of my mind is, are the large enterprises that can afford doing those extra investments, are they the model of our future business? Or are we at the end of the very capitalistic model that we have today and at the beginning of a new type of enterprise that looks at the world, at society, and at human being in a different way? I leave you with that question, which is actually a bit philosophical, but I think it's an important one. I'll leave you with that. I thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great day.